Welcome to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast, brought to you by the Sales Enablement Collective. Each episode, we sit down with sales enablement and revenue leaders from around the world and invite them to share their expertise and experience with the community. On this episode, we spoke with SEC One to Watch for 2024, Brooke Colletti, about partner enablement and the unique challenges it can raise when compared to sales or revenue enablement. I hope you enjoy our conversation. On the show today is Brooke Colletti, who is one of our SEC ones to watch in 2024. Thank you, Brooke, for taking the time and coming on to the show.
And thank you, Daniel, for having me. I'm excited to speak with you today.
So do you mind, sort of before we dive into our topic for today, sort of running through your background, your experience, and just a little bit about yourself and how you've gotten to this point in your career?
Absolutely. So as mentioned, my name is Brooke Colletti, and I am currently working at Amazon Web Services within the partner organization. And my focus this year is actually on better aligning our international geographies and making sure that they have a seat at the table, making sure their voice is heard, and we consider all the nuances of the business throughout the world when we launch new features, functionalities, and programs to our partners. And so that is a little bit about my role this year. I started my enablement journey about 6 years ago, and at the time, I was actually an analyst. And what I found is looking through the data, I was noticing discrepancies of how the sales team were actually discounting deals. And when I brought it to the sales leaders and I had conversations, I found that each team, even though they were told similar things, were being coached and managed differently team to team. And from there was an opportunity to have standardized training across all of the teams within the organization. And that's how my enablement career actually started. From there, I got the opportunity to build lots of enablement programs from the ground up, being the first enablement hire in most of the companies up until recently. So this is actually the first time I'm a part of a larger team and very excited.
That's awesome. And I love the fact that you sort of had a keen eye and spotted this sort of discrepancy and sort of built it off from there. That's a nice sort of way to kickstart it. So our topic for today is actually primarily on partner enablement versus sales enablement and sort of your role in that. So I wondered if you could kick off the discussion by talking about what partner enablement is or what it means to you, maybe for our listeners who aren't as familiar as they would be with something like sales enablement.
Yeah, so partner enablement can be defined in a couple ways. So when I think about partner enablement, I think of you have external partner enablement. So people who or companies who are reselling or doing business on behalf of your company. So if you're selling a software or a service, they go and they have their own customers and they sell the product on your behalf. So partners are an extension of your company. And so when I think about partner enablement, I think of we need to enable the boots in the ground at the partner company to sell on our behalf and be able to speak and talk about our products and services the same as our internal sales team. And then a lot of organizations actually have partner reps. So whether they're partner sales managers, partner development managers, these are the folks that have the relationship with the partners. And so when I think about partner enablement, I think about both external facing enablement content, but also internal for those folks that are supporting our partners through that sales journey in lockstep with us. So that's how I look at partner enablement, is it's that two-prong approach and making sure that we enable our internal teams to also support externally with whatever we're enabling them outside.
That's really interesting. And it's almost like training the trainers in that sort of way, which is cool, but also different dynamic. I wonder if we could sort of talk about maybe starting with the similarities to sales enablement that you've sort of seen and then maybe going into some of the differences after. But sort of in terms of your experience with partner enablement versus sales enablement, what are the sort of the common threads that, you know, the skills that are applicable regardless of sort of who you're enabling in that sense?
If you're looking to pivot to partner enablement or broaden your scope as an enabler to be at a company to include partner enablement, I assure you that there is differences, but there's a lot of similarities. To your point, Daniel, is within let's say sales enablement. So you're focusing on the sales team. Within sales enablement, you are enabling your sales team how to have different discussions depending on use case or industry. And that is very similar when you're enabling within the partner org. You need to make sure your partners understand what use cases your service or product solves. You need them to understand how to position it and market it. Because, so I'll stick with similarities. So that's a similarity. When you think about it within revenue enablement and you're enabling the sales org, customer success, let's say the renewals team, et cetera, you are customizing your enablement to their role. And so that's actually similar within partner enablement because you're going to want to customize the content to the partner type, which means that their customers have those different use cases and different nuances of how they run their business potentially at the partner. So in a similar way, you're already customizing enablement internally. So you just have to think about the different partner types that are available that your company works with and customize that enablement so that it resonates with them. And so it kind of goes back to that 80-20 rule, very similar with revenue enablement and partner enablement, which is 80% of your messaging, your positioning, your value proposition is going to be the same. But there's going to be that 20% that's customized to the vertical, to the partner type, to the role, right? So in that sense, it is very similar. And whatever the team is being enabled on within your internal revenue organization should be the same information that your external partners get. Because your partners, again, are an extension of your internal sales team. And so a lot of times, if you have multiple people on the enablement team, they should be sharing the enablement that's being created. So whether a partner brings a need or whether there is something being pushed internally out, people on the enablement team should be communicating that and sharing content in order to scale. So in a lot of ways, similarities. What are the differences? Because I think these are things that you really need to keep in mind is within a revenue organization, a lot of times we test things, right? So let's test this one positioning or the way we do a discovery call. And that's great internally. People are agile. They're open to testing. But when you go externally, you need to make sure that that messaging is really crisp, that that is the final as it can be, messaging and positioning. Because one thing you need to keep in mind is your partner that you're working with could actually be selling your competitor. And when they talk to their customers, they're hearing the customer's pain points. And in the back of the mind, they know that I have company A and company B. But based on the customer's problems and I want to do right by my customer, I'm going to select the partner, which is your company or your competitors, that's going to best fit my customer's need. And so having really clear and crisp value proposition, understanding the functionality of your product and the how to differentiate amongst the competitors are really important when going externally. Because if they don't understand the benefits and it's easier to sell your competitor, they're going to sell your competitor over you. So I would say that's a huge monumental difference between the two is when we enable externally, we just need to make sure that one, we are enabling in a way that makes sense, that's easy for them to understand, and we're not creating spam. Because internally, again, we could host weekly enablement sessions, we could send out newsletters. Externally, they're supporting potentially hundreds of partners, one rep. So they just need to know what is an update from your company that's really easy to understand. So I would say that's the largest difference between the two when you're thinking about revenue enablement and partner enablement.
That's really interesting. And especially that sort of, you made the analogy to sort of revenue enablement. It almost seemed that there's a similarity. If you're coming from revenue enablement, you'd have almost a smoother transition because you're used to working with sort of different teams like that. I wonder, what are some of the major challenges that you come across with that maybe you weren't sort of familiar with before sort of working with partner enablement? Are there sort of certain challenges that are unique, that are related to those sort of differences? I would imagine just thinking off the top of my head for myself, that time and the amount of time you have with externals is a tricky one to manage.
Yeah, that's actually, you bring up a great point, is one of the challenges is getting feedback from your partners. And internally, your teams are probably shouting from the rooftop, what enablement's missing? Or I don't like the way we're doing this. How do we change it? Externally, it's a lot harder to get that feedback. And if you find partners that are very vocal, it's important to hang on to those and create that cadence in that relationship to get the feedback. Because again, a lot of partners, depending on the focus and how large the partner is, may have many people that are selling on your company's behalf. And each of them may be selling slightly different, or like I mentioned, their industry or their company size may be different. So what resonates with them and the features and functionalities that your company does that's beneficial may be different than others. So I think the one thing that's tricky with the partner enablement is finding that balance between that 30,000 foot view that will apply to the masses, and then diving deep into specifics that they can use. I'd say also, just like internally with your sales teams, this is important externally with your partners, is the pay structure. And I know enablement does not typically have an influence of how partners get paid, but if you get a chance to sit at that table and learn how the partners are incentivized, it may be a good opportunity to talk to your C-suite and your leaders about maybe if your company has tiers, for example, let's say bronze, silver, gold level partners, is there a training requirement a part of the levels? So in order to maintain their partnership, do they need to do X amount of business and maintain a certain level of certification? Because from enablement, that's really helped me in the past make sure that the critical messaging and value propositions and functionalities of our products are out there with the partners and they're getting refreshed. And then from there, we can build in survey mechanisms or vo voice of the partner mechanisms to get their feedback. And so in the past, that is a mechanism I've used to get that feedback because it is a challenge externally.
That's really interesting. It's not even something that I would have considered necessarily, but no, it makes a lot of sense that you laid it out. One of the things I'm wondering is, you mentioned the sort of the two prongs of partner enablement, that also being the internal sales partner managers or whoever it might be that work with the external people. How do you sort of approach enabling them? It's almost that secondhand enablement or sort of one step further down the line. How do you sort of manage that when you're sort of enabling someone to enable someone else? Do you find that tricky sometimes, or do you have to change your approach in doing that?
So you mentioned this in the introduction, so I'm really happy that we're circling back to this because it is like you're training the trainer. And that's a real fundamental difference between direct sales, who are selling directly to the customer, and then enabling this partner rep who's then training their partner to sell. So you are right that it's this one extra level. And I think this goes back to what I said earlier around making sure the messaging, positioning, et cetera, is very clean and crisp. So that your team can be an extension of enablement for their partners. And so their job is a combination essentially of sales and that relationship building because they're helping our partners get through the sales process. So telling them, giving them maybe collateral that they need to progress the deal, potentially at some companies, the partner and the internal rep are on the call at the exact same time with the customer. So depending on company, that the internal person is that partner's support. And so it's important that they understand the landscape of their partners. They understand all of the resources that are available internally, because I look at the internal partner-facing team as the face of our company. They're representing us every time they're talking to partners. And I know partner ecosystem and selling through the channel is becoming more predominant within a a lot of companies just to scale. And so when you think about these reps and you think about enabling them, it's, you need to almost make them a little bit more certified than some of the sales folks, because one partner can bring even more use cases, even more challenges to one call. So to do an analogy or a comparison, a sales rep does research on an account. They hop on a call with them. Mostly, they already know what industry this account's in. They already know what the company size is. They did some research and they know what the product is. So they can maybe anticipate some of the challenges or pain points and practice what they want to potentially say on this call. When you're a partner-facing rep and your partner maybe has multiple customers and they're just trying to learn about your company, the partner-facing rep needs to be armed with all that knowledge in order to support that conversation. So when I think about enabling them, I go back to making sure every piece of enablement material is tagged in our system, so it's easy for the rep to be able to find it, locate it, and send it while they're on the call, so that they can be productive and have the conversation. And if they say, hey, I don't know, hold on one second, let me go look, it's at least really fast for them to find the information. And so I think there's also a way, especially if your company is looking to expand within partner enablement, think about your enablement tech stack already and how it's being organized, and then how you can just optimize it with additional filters or potential scenarios that these other reps, if they're looking to expand in the partner space, can utilize.
That's really interesting. And it actually sort of touches on my next question, which was, I'm thinking if one of our listeners or someone watching is potentially moving into a partner enablement role, or their organization is shifting into that approach, do you have any sort of like tips or advice of sort of like, if you are, or say to rephrase, if you found out that you were transitioning into a partner enablement role, what are some of the, like, the first five things you do, or first three things you do to make sure that you are as set up for success moving from sort of sales enablement into, or expanding into partner enablement, if you will?
Yes. The first would be understanding the business case. So why is the company deciding to move and focus more on partner enablement? Because I've been at companies where they feel like building a partner ecosystem is going to be a year long. Sometimes that effort to get momentum and get deals coming in through the channel could take 18 months to 2 years. And I think that's important to acknowledge, because otherwise there may be unrealistic expectations from an enablement standpoint that our partners are not being ramped fast enough. But that may not actually be the case. Again, partners could be selling your competitors already. We're building that relationship. It takes time to nurture a relationship. So I want to understand that push and why partner enablement is now becoming a focus within the company. Next is, does that mean that I'm still a team of one supporting now all the revenue generating teams and partner enablement, or is that a different headcount? Because the way I've done both, and the way they fundamentally work are slightly different. If I was a team of one doing revenue enablement and now my scope of my role is changing to include partner enablement, I would really focus on what you're doing internally. Because typically what you're doing internally gets into the really deep details of whatever it is. And then take a step back, watch the training that you just built, read the scripts of whatever it may be, and then pull it up. So remove a lot of the details and then make sure it is really polished. So if you have, you know, a UX team or a design team that can make your videos really professional, great. If not, that's fine too. But the videos and the trainings you produce externally, remember, you could be enabling the masses, thousands, hundreds of people. So if you're a team of one, I would really think about now expanding your project timeline or of your enablement initiative. So start with your internal teams. What is that 80% that is for all your internal teams? Does that 80% apply externally? And will it not change? And if it will change, is it 2 months? Is it 6 months? Because whatever you roll out externally, ideally it's going to be green and relevant for at least, I would say, 4 to 6 months. If you're constantly changing your messaging externally, it causes confusion and you could potentially, they potentially won't sell your product because it's not as quote unquote easy as your competitor, right? So if you're a team of one, start with building internally and then pull the content up, make sure it's really clean and crisp, produce it externally. That's how I used to do it and it actually worked really well. Now, if there are things that are coming up that you're hearing from your partners that is a need, identify if you have it already internally. If you do, that's an opportunity to clean it up, produce it externally. If it's content that has not been created internally, then it's a great opportunity for you to actually start backwards. So build it with the part, like with the partner in mind, and then maybe go slightly into more contextual stuff and release it internally. In an ideal fashion, anytime there's a launch, you should always be training your internal teams first before you train your partners, because once your partners find out about it, they're going to call up your sales team, your partner internal teams, and they're going to ask questions. And if they don't know it, you may lose trust of your internal team. Now, if I was an enablement team now, let's say of two or more, that's where you need to make sure both sides of the team are lock in step. And now the partner team is maybe building from scratch content that doesn't exist that they're hearing as a need from the partners and then sharing it with the with the revenue generating team. And then same thing, like I talked about earlier, about sharing content that way. But again, view your internal and external partner organizations as an extension of the sales team. So that's how that's I would really look at it. Yeah.
I love that. And one thing I'm sort of wondering is almost like flipping that in doing the reverse of, if I'm listening and I'm in sales enablement and maybe I'm not sort of in the partner enablement world, what are the sort of things I can look out for, take back in from the partner enablement side that maybe you're more familiar doing partner enablement, that I can sort of take back and apply to my sales enablement sort of role and maybe help me out in some way there? Is it that sort of taking a step back, and even just for the sales reps, does that sort of step back help? Or do you have any sort of reflections from partner enablement that sort of are relevant, especially relevant as well for sales enablers?
I would say if you are within partner enablement and you're looking to move within revenue enablement, one thing to consider is that there's going to be a lot more feedback, potentially a lot more hands in the cookie jar, meaning you definitely need to work with other stakeholders internally, including your sales leadership, including operations, including product marketing, even more closely than you potentially would within partner enablement. And the reason being is internally, typically the teams are not scared about vocalizing their opinions. You now want to make sure the tools are set up for your internal teams to be able to update tools and embed enablement within their process internally. So whether it's, let's say we're doing a Salesforce training, make sure that all of the fields are up to date, or we have a new competitor in the market, make sure we're adding that within the workflow. Talking to the sales leaders, making sure that the enablement is going to actually be embedded within their day-to-day, and that they're going to help coach our reps internally. Because on the partner side, the internal partner team may be getting coached and helped. But in a lot of organizations, those teams may not carry a quota because they are working with partners to close the deal. So the partner essentially carries that. So there's slight fundamental differences around how each of the teams are motivated. So to understand the internal culture around the two sides of the organization. One thing to keep in mind is internally, if you're doing revenue enablement, one of the challenges is that, again, there's a lot more opinions that you need to consider and potential culture challenges that you may face, where externally, you may not have visibility into the thousands of partners, hundreds of partners that you may have. So there's one more layer of potential complexity when you move to sales enablement internally, because now you have visibility about how everything is made. And so making sure you have all that alignment is really important. Typically, if you... Yeah, I'm just going to stop there, I think. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm actually keeping one eye on time, and so I think we have time for one more question, which I want to sort of bring it back sort of all the way and think about if you had sort of one golden piece of advice for someone in partner enablement who maybe has less experience or someone less familiar with it than you, sort of what would that one golden piece of advice be that you've sort of gleaned from your career? Because it's a big world, it's a big topic, and you know, experience is such a big part of it. So if you could sort of give one message to someone who was sort of less experienced in partner enablement or less familiar, sort of what would that be for them?
Continue challenging yourself to learn. Even though I've been in revenue enablement for most of my career, just transitioned into partner enablement, and there's so much to learn. Understanding the nuances of different partner types for me, I think, was the biggest challenge up front. But take the time to understand all the different partner types, and it almost unlocks this possibility about how your company's solution or product can be applied. And so I just encourage everyone to continue to learn and take the time to really understand that business, because it is slightly different, but in a fun way. And so if you get an opportunity to do partner enablement, I definitely encourage everyone to try it out at least one role in their career, because it is very eye-opening, and a lot of the skills that you learn within partner enablement can absolutely be applied back if you decide to go back into revenue enablement.
Brooke, thank you so much for taking the time. I think that is all we have time for, unfortunately, but thank you for taking time to come onto the show, share your insights. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will have as well. So just thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast. Be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you don't miss a thing. And if you're hungry for more sales enablement content, visit our website, salesenablementcollective.com, for articles, events, and an easy way to join our Slack community, home to thousands of your sales enablement peers.